bow our heads and say a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, grant us the light of your Holy Spirit. We may accept the truth, our hearts may be filled with your love. Help all of us religious leaders, O Lord, to speak your truth in charity. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, just a little while after Mass, I, along with many, many more people, will be heading to Washington, D.C., the annual pro-life march. Last year, 400,000 people went to Washington, D.C. for the march. It commemorates a tragic event in the history of our country, that in 1973, on January 22nd, the Supreme Court made the ruling that a child in the womb could be murdered, could be aborted. Very sad day. Very sad day. This very gift of life that God gives, and only God can give life and take it, for someone to usurp God's rights and to do that. So I'm going to be on the bus. There's about 7 buses leaving for the Dubuque area, meeting up with hundreds of thousands of people in Washington, D.C., praying, and also just by our witness, by our massive numbers, trying to send a message to those politicians who don't recognize God's gift of life as sacred, that it is sacred, that we're come standing for them, being voices for those without voices. Now, if we look out at the world, Father Barry and I, many times we talk about different things that going on in the world, and a lot of times you're like, wow, you know, the world's gotten so far away from God as a whole. It's almost like a divine intervention is needed. For those who are trying to follow Jesus Christ, it's like a David versus Goliath. But we should never give it to discouragement. With God, all things are possible. One particular gentleman, his name is Mr. Ray Comfort. Mr. Ray Comfort. He's seeing this culture of death that's just escalating. And all the abortions, 50 million abortions in the United States since 1973, over a billion worldwide. And so he thought he could make an impact, try something. And he has made an impact. Just a few months ago, he put together a video called 180 Degrees. It's a 33-minute video. And I'm going to share just little excerpts, snippets from that video about this message, a really strong pro-life message that he sends. And he has a wonderful effect in this video to different people he interviews. He starts off, and first part of the video, he asks many young people, those under the age of 30, who Adolf Hitler was. And I was shocked watching this video. Most of them did not know. Some said, well, you see that little German guy with a funny little mustache? And some said, well, was he the president of Germany? But none of them really knew. Well, Adolf Hitler, I'm sure most of us here are familiar with him. He sanctioned the murder of 11 million people leading up to World War II and including in World War II. And on this video, there's many video clips and pictures of the Holocaust and the victims in his concentration camps. You know, today in Germany, it's mandatory in the educational system for the young people to learn about Adolf Hitler, so the horror of a man like that will not be repeated at history. Now, Hitler, he hated Christians. He hated Jews, and he hated blacks. He points this out on the tape. He changed the cross into a swastika. He called the Ten Commandments, Adolf Hitler, the curse of Mount Sinai, because he tells us things we don't want to do. And he deceived many, especially the youth in Germany, with the lie, the supremacy of the German race. Therefore, all other races don't deserve to live. But one man, so I was a witness. He said, April 6, 1942, Adolf Hitler and the Nazis gunned down 1,600 people in cold blood. Some died instantly, some were injured, and then they were taking dirt and this covering up all the bodies. And one gentleman said, I saw a 5-year-old boy running out underneath his mother crying. He said, I had been shot, and he said, I lost consciousness. So he gives us back on this DVD. And then what he does with these young people that he's interviewing, there's quite a few, he gives these different scenarios to them. He asks them questions. One he said, if you were in a situation like this, and you saw a number of people, they were shot, and the Nazis said, would you drive a bulldozer over their bodies? Otherwise, if you don't, you would be shot. And many said, well, yeah, they would bury. They would get in a bulldozer, and they would bury then those people. Some are already dead, and the others are already injured. And then he asked another question. He said, if you were, the Nazis put a gun to your head and they say, I want you to kill all these people with a rifle, what would you do? The ones who are still alive. Well, some of them like, oh no, I wouldn't do this. Some said, well, yeah, to preserve my life, I would do it. Then he asked another question. He said, either you shoot them down now or you're killed instantly. Well, he kept asking all these questions. And then he said, what if you were with the Nazis? And they said, look at all these children here, they're Down syndrome. Maybe young people, maybe adults, Down syndrome. And he said, would you shoot them? Then he asked, is that right? Then he gave another scenario. What if you have a construction worker and he points out the building across the street? See that building? I'm about to demolish it, take it down. And then he says, well, there may be a few people in there, but it's worth the risk. What would you say to him? I think most would say, no, no, life is sacred. No, don't take the risk. Check out that building first to make sure that there's no one in there. And then he goes on, he asks the young people, do you value life? And they'll say, yeah. Then the question, how do you feel about abortion? Many answers. Here's some of the answers. It's a woman's right to choose. Or, I'm personally pro-life, but women should have the right to do what they want. Some said, they even said, going against science, well, it's not a baby. Some said, took the burden off themselves, well, that's up to the mother. And some said, well, if I can't take care of it. And he responded to this, well, what if you're married and you can't take care of your wife? Should you shoot her? Then he asked the question, was it okay for Hitler to decide who lives and who dies? It was legal. He decided Christians shouldn't live, blacks shouldn't live, Jews shouldn't live. Then he kept asking the question, is it okay to kill the baby in the womb when? He said, fill in the blank. So you answer that. When is it okay to kill the baby in the womb? And so he keeps going through these questions. What he does, he forces these young people to think logically about it. Because ultimately they say, well, yeah, if it's a Down syndrome child, yeah. Well, if the mother doesn't want it, then you fall for the lie of Hitler. Will you decide who lives and who dies? That's not a human power. That's something divine. And then he asks some of the people, and this is just a little snippet. He asks some of the people, well, what happens after we die? Most people, we go to heaven. Some say, well, I don't believe in heaven, or I don't believe in hell. Then he asks, well, why are you going to heaven? One person, well, I'm a good person. Well, what about Hitler when he died? Do you think he went to heaven? And people pause for a moment. Then he asked some basic questions. Here's a very good. He said, what do you call someone who tells lies? A liar, right? What do you call someone who takes God's name in vain? Blasphemer. What do you call someone who looks with lust at another person? Our Lord said this. An adulterer. Now, anytime we transgress God's commandments, especially that of the fifth, taking innocent life, we're murderers. What about the people who elected Adolf Hitler and put him into power? Do you know at the end of World War II, the U.S. soldiers, when they came in, they took the German people in the surrounding area, where the concentration camps were literally like in their backyard, they took them into the camps, and it shows, it's on the video, it shows them smiling, happy, and all of a sudden you see them coming out, they're horrified. Some are throwing up, tears, screaming. The horror of what they helped support by their silence, by putting a man like him in office. It's the same thing today with the abortion holocaust. It's right in our backyard. We have Planned Parenthood right across the river, the biggest supplier of abortion, the biggest baby killer. It's horrible. It's a billion-dollar business going out. Now, what's happened recently, Father Bear and I were just horrified by this. President Barack Obama, this is the Cardinal Timothy Dolan. He's the Cardinal-elect of New York. He's the president of the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops. Quote, he sharply criticized the decision by the Obama administration in which it ordered, quote, it ordered almost every employer and insurer in the country to provide sterilization, contraceptions, including abortion-inducing drugs, in their health plans. Department of Health and Human Services saying, Catholic schools, yes, you must have this. Catholic hospitals, yes, you may have this. Oh, he's trampling over someone's rights, that of Jesus Christ. And Cardinal Obama is, Cardinal Timothy Dolan says, quote, never before has the federal government forced individuals or organizations to go out into the marketplace and buy a product that violates their consciences. This shouldn't happen in a land where free exercise of religion ranks first in the Bill of Rights. On January 19th, a few days ago, a bunch of bishops of the United States were in Rome for the ad limina visit of Pope Benedict XVI. In opening with a dire assessment of the state of American society, the Pope told the bishops, quote, the powerful new cultural currents have worn away the country's traditional and moral consensus, which was originally based on religious faith as well as ethical principles derived from natural law. The Pope said, militant secularists seek to stifle the church's proclamation of these unchanging moral truths, the freedom of religion. Pope Benedict XVI says, the Catholic politicians, they have a personal responsibility to offer public witness to their faith, especially with regard to the great moral issues of our time, which he identified as respect for God's gift of life, the protection of human dignity, and the promotion of authentic human rights. Now, when I look at all this, what do we do? Well, look at the readings here today. First thing we do, our Lord says, repent and believe in the gospel. All of us are in need of repentance. All of us are in need of reform. And thanks be to God, he gave us the sacrament of confession. Where we humbly confess our sins, he gives us a fresh start. Repent, reform, and then we humbly confess our sins. Another thing that we can do in today's culture is vote pro-life. Don't fall for the lie like so many people did in Germany. Oh, Hitler's a good guy. He has our country's interests at heart. He was a murderer, a mass murderer. And third, and this is important, we're about to receive Jesus in communion. St. Ignatius of Loyola said this, strive for personal holiness. Quote, he who goes about to reform the world must begin with himself. We must start here in our hearts. How we have to live the cultural life. Four, pray for the government officials. Now there's hope. This first reading, we have the prophet Jonah goes to Nineveh. They're about to bring down the wrath of God in anger. So God in his great mercy is always showing his mercy down through the histories of the ages. He sends Jonah and tells him to repent 40 days. And guess what? They repented. They converted. They changed. And the city was not destroyed. As a priest, I look out and go, wow, the blood of 50 million babies is on the soil of this country. It doesn't win God's favor. It doesn't win God's favor. But God does look out for those who are faithful, those who love him. The prayers of few can save many. So all of us, we need to repent, reform, confess. Second, vote pro-life. Your faith is not just the 50 minutes or an hour on the weekend. It's supposed to encompass our whole life. Jesus wants our whole heart, soul, mind, everything. Strive for personal holiness. You may not be able to change your neighbor, this person, that person, but you could start here, asking God to change your heart. And after that's happened, then he could use his grunt change as a fourth, pray for government officials. Now, this video that I mentioned, we have, I think, maybe 20 copies. I'm hoping to have more, but it's the last minute thing. You could take one of these. As you're leaving the church in the entranceway, you could pick up one of these. It's 180 degrees. I'll take this label off. 180, 33 minutes that will rock your world. Or you can go online, www.180movie.com. Watch it. Especially grandparents and parents, your children. I'll say maybe junior high and up. Below that, it may not be too good. So let's bow our heads and say a prayer now. Heavenly Father, we beg your mercies upon ourselves for all the times we've transgressed your laws, all the times we refuse to love. Lord, we ask your mercy upon our country and the whole world. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your patience, but help us to be converted. Help us to give our hearts to you. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.